Friday, hello. Hello, what good little net you got going on? It sounds like your little roundtable idea really worked great. Though I don't have a ball joint, son. I was going to do it today when I get off work, but on my way home, I was like a mile and a half out from the house, and the bottom fell out of the storm. No, I don't have a shop to work on my stuff. I don't even have gravel. I have a muddy driveway, so it was nothing but a great big soggy mud puddle, so I didn't get those ball joints done today. So I really need to do them really soon, but as soon as the weather cooperates, I'll be able to get it done.
The week I went to the doctor for that ultrasound down in Spartanburg. I got back home and my granddaughter was up here with my great-granddaughters. We're sitting out on the porch and she looked out there at my old 91 Ford truck and said, "Papa, when you gonna get rid of that old truck and get you a decent truck? It does look rough. It was stolen and it was a one-owner truck. And it was stolen and these two kids went to Dollar General, got some spray cans of primer and done a paint job on it. So you know what it looks like. And when the cops found his truck, they called him and told him they had it in the impound. And he lives in one of these gated communities. He went and got his truck, and the HOA wouldn't allow him to have it in the impound, so he put it out there for sale. And I bought the thing. It belonged to his daddy, and his dad had died recently, and he had got the truck. But I ended up getting the old truck, and I had to put a thermostat in it. And the next week, I had to put a water pump on it. And then the next week, the whole top blew out of the radiators. So I had to go get a new radiator put on it. But that's all before my health went downhill. And I told my daughter, or my granddaughter, I said, "There ain't nothing wrong with that old truck. It does. It rides and drives like a brand new truck." And, I was out of Gatorade and Pepsi. I said, "I'm going to run up the store. Y'all going home soon?" She said, "No, we're going to be here a while, Papa." And she drives a Cadillac Escalade. I went right up here in Inman. I don't know, it's about 5 miles from where I live here on the lake. And when I turned down Foster, after I crossed the lake coming home, the truck cut off, and I put it up in park and tried to crank it, and it wouldn't turn over, and I looked out there, and there was steam going everywhere. So I called my daughter. I thought she'd come down here in her truck and pull me home. I wasn't a mile and a quarter from the house. Instead of that, my granddaughter come down there in that doggone Cadillac, and she hooked a tow rope to it and pulled me home. Boy, she laughed about pulling Papa's old Ford home with that Cadillac. But one of the freeze plugs is rusted through on the driver's side, and I just ain't able to get out there and get under that thing. I put up many of them in, but with my neck the way it is, I don't know if I can hold my neck up long enough and what I'm going to go through after it. But every mechanic I talk to wants $75 an hour with a 2-hour minimum, and they didn't want me to buy the freeze plug. Why can't I go buy it for, I went and bought one today. It's an inch and a half freeze plug, and it's on the driver's side toward the back. I hope it ain't behind the exhaust manifold, but I'm like you. All I got out there is a level ground, and where it's level at, is the only place that don't have grass. And I was hoping it'd dry out, but the sun didn't come out enough here today for it to dry out. I'm going to get out there tomorrow, I think, and try to jack that thing up, get it under it, and knock that thing out. I bought one of them rubber ones you just stick back in the hole and tighten that nut up. So I'm like you. I'm waiting on the weather, Daniel. I ain't going to call you Nathan tonight.
KJ4 to Elysium. That's pretty funny right there. Sad to hear the truck cut off. One thing I would do if I was you, though, one quick question before I continue on with all my whole little speech here. One quick question. Have you turned the key to make sure the truck still starts?
I got it home, and it sat there a day or two. I got in it, fired it up, run smooth as ever. I pull it down here next to my shack where I could cut the grass, and there's no water in the oil or nothing like that. So I think it's an old truck, and I think it just rusted the grease plug out, Daniel.
Just making sure. Yeah, I've had to change those freeze plugs out before. I've always caught them extremely early, though. I've never got to the point where the engine overheated and locked down due to heat. But I've changed a good many of them out before. When I went to redo my engine, I just had to do some more of them, too. So, quite familiar with that. And I don't know what you mean. The only level spot in the yard don't have grass on it. The only spot that don't have grass on it is level. It's like you can't do nothing about it. With all the rain, it's been a royal pain. But I feel you on that, though, for real. And if you ever need that engine rebuilt or anything, I'll rebuild it. I just did mine, so. And I hope you got a good many more miles still to go on it. Mine's a 1992 Ford Explorer. It's old square body kind. I have a 4-liter V6 in it. The original engine, it still ran when I took it out. It had 421,000 miles on it, which is a lot. And it had about every engine noise coming out of that thing that you can imagine. Lifter tick, bearing knock, timing chain rattle. The thing sounded like it was getting ready to go to pieces. But it didn't sound a whole lot worse than that when I bought it 90,000 miles ago either. I put 90,000 miles on it and it still ran after all that noise. It had lifter tick then, and it had bearing knock, but it didn't have timing chain rattle until about 2,000 miles ago. That's when I stopped driving it and changed the engine out. Timing chain is something I don't play with. Lifter tick, bearing knock, you know, it's just going to happen. And once that timing chain starts talking, I start listening to it. I don't play with that at all, because that's a good way to completely destroy your engine real quick.
I had two timing chains break that wouldn't even chattering. And, you know, usually if the engine's running, you won't notice it. But like when you stop at a stop sign and go pull off, it's got a lot more power. And then once you get up your speed, the power drops on it. That's when the timing chain slacks off and changes the timing in it. And I've had two of them break and destroy the heads, the valves. No, timing chain ain't nothing to play with.
I was sweating bullets every time I drove it back and forth to work, too. I tried to be super, super easy on it, and it would go berserk. It would, I could listen to it chattering and everything at low speed, but it really started talking if I had it under a medium load. Like, if I was just going down the hill with light tension on it, it was good. But when it went back uphill, oh my goodness, that thing made such a commotion. Oh, I was scared to drive it. I really thought it was about to break down any second. I didn't trust it going up any hill at all. I was scared. And that went on for about 2 weeks when it was that bad before I was finally able to go ahead and change the engine out. Now the engine changed, I'm a lot more relieved. The oil pan gasket didn't seat right, so I'll do that. I've been procrastinating that. I don't feel like picking the engine back up. But I just, it's not like I don't know how to do it. I just did it. I just pulled the old engine and put in a new one. I just don't enjoy it. Royal pain. I have to pick that thing back up. I don't know if I'll end up disconnecting it from the transmission or not. If I can't get it picked up high enough, I'll have to disconnect it from the transmission all over again. And then it's 10 times the headache of just picking it up. So I'm going to try to cut corners on it at first. But I'm not looking forward to this project at all. It leaks oil pretty decently now, but the funny thing is, even with it leaking oil visibly, it is leaking less oil than it was consuming before. So, we'll see how good it is once it's done. I don't think this thing burns a single drop of oil. Other than that, I can go 5,000 miles and it won't even change. So, we'll see. And then that the ball joint and tie rods, inner and outer and everything. The whole front suspension, honestly, needs to be replaced. Everything is wrong with the front suspension. But once that's done, basically a brand new truck. I done the rear axles. I have done the transmission, transfer case, engine. I have done the exhaust. I just have the suspension to go at this point as far as underneath the vehicle goes. So I've done all the brake calipers and pads, rotors on the front, and brake cylinders and shoes and drums on the rear. So I've done a lot of work to it, along with changing out every accessory. One downside is my alternator is on its way out pretty quick. I am having issues with voltage spikes now. Today it jumped to 18 volts twice on my way to work. And flashed the battery symbol when it went crazy, and it did it once on the way home. So I'm running scared because that'll fry the computer, and then it's $250 to get a new computer for it.
Rather than uncoupling that transmission from the engine, you can't drop the drive shaft and unbolt the transmission from the cross member there and just pick the engine and transmission up enough to get that oil pan off, Daniel.
Twin I-beam suspension underneath the vehicle with a jointed axle. I have a Dana 35 axle. It's almost like a straight axle, except it's worse because I have the suspension component that acts like a pair of scissors. The left side, the left wheel pivots from the right side, and then the right wheel pivots from the left side, so I have massive suspension arms and an axle and a frame cross member all to get around. And all that stuff is directly underneath the engine, right below the oil pan. So I don't think that I can pick the engine up enough to clear that, because then the bell housing strikes on the body of the vehicle when I pick it up much farther. I think that I'm literally going to have to separate the engine from the transmission, which involves removing the starter, pulling the four nuts out of the flex plate and torque converter, pulling 8 bolts out of the transmission bell housing, removing the 2 bolts from the motor mounts, unbolting the 2, 4, 6, 8. I think it's 8 bolts on the, maybe it's just 6. It's either 6 or 8 bolts on each side for the exhaust manifolds. I got to do all that stuff just to pull the engine up if I can't just undo the 2 motor mounts and pick it up high enough. But I don't think that I'll have the clearance that I need. So it's going to be a big, major, hairy deal just to change the oil pan gasket. I got a better designed one that won't give me problems.
In a second, let me see if I got any more check-ins. Anybody out there, A through Z, want to check into the Blue Ridge Amateur Society 2-meter net. Please call K4OIM or net control. They talk to them all asleep.
Yeah, you don't have a few more people after me on here?
I've got 50. The other night, Gary was talking to Dave, W4DJW, about us reaching that 101 the other Monday night. And Gary said we ought to try for each night. Each net control gets 62 check-ins, so we could average 2,000 check-ins a month. So, I'm going for it, but it's pretty late, bad weather and all. I guess everybody else had done cleared out. I got one more here. I got Jeff over there in Greenville for some rag chew, but you got anything else on your mind, Daniel?
So hang around and talk after Jeff, I guess that's about it for now. I've had some long days at work, but nothing really to write home about. Mostly trying to get my car fixed and blow my hair out over it because of work that I've been procrastinating, not wanting to do. It is not one thing, it's another. I also need to flush my AC system out. It has metal shavings in it because I didn't add enough oil to the air compressor when I changed it out. So that was an oops for me and a learning experience of what not to do. Anyways, I'll get off of here for now and let you talk to Jeff for a little while. But I'll be getting off the radio. Once he's done, I'll be getting off the radio at 11:30 tonight. I'm going to get up at like 5:30, so that gives me 6 hours, which is what I like to get at night. So I'll hop off of here for now. You have a good one. Great net. I've had 57 check-ins both of the last two times I called the net. So my numbers are up. When I first started calling net, 35 a night. Now I've been in the 50s. I've had up to like 65-ish. But the last two times I've called it, I've had 57. So I'll let you go talk to Jeff for a little while. Been great talking to you, and 73s to you and all on the net.
Nils wants to come in and make comments or anything. After Jeff clears out, I'll give another call for check-ins, and I'll come back to you. I'll talk for a while. So let me look back where he's at here. KC4 ZYB, Jeff, you still in here?
KC8ZYB, yeah, I'm still here, Walt. I wanted to apologize for not showing back up here the following morning after me, you and Daniel was had that late QSO. I had every intention of getting up and giving you a shout, you know, between 9 and 10 that morning. And man, I woke up feeling sick as a dog. I ended up being pretty bad sick for like 2 days. Real nauseated, couldn't get up, just feeling like complete crap. But I'm still not feeling the greatest now, but those 2 days I wasn't feeling well at all. But so sorry about that, man. I don't know if you ended up making it out there. I think you said that you normally fire them up and just kick back and listen for any kind of traffic. So, but I'm going to try to start making out here in the mornings and have my coffee and see who's out there. But I have a question. Did you end up doing anything about getting one of those radios? Or I can't remember what you told me, if you were going to wait for a while, or did you already pick one up?
I've done it yet. with my health going down the way it is, man, I've been wanting 811H amp. At least something to do 500, at least 500 watts. But if I end up having to move my shack up into the house, I don't know. And I need a new oscilloscope, but I've got so much test equipment in here. My scope, like I said, I got my shack in a 30-foot pull-behind camper. And when my daughter bought this place about 6 months ago, I took my radios out. I put them in my truck and moved them. But I've got 6 or 7 boat anchors in here I'm restoring. And I put everything down in the floor so it couldn't fall, including my oscilloscope. And I'll be doggone if a can of pinto beans didn't fall out of the cabinet and hit the knob that controls the position of the beam on my scope and broke it off way back in the pot. The only way to fix it is replace the pot. And I probably got one. But that thing is so compact in there, I don't know if I'd want to fool with it or just find me another good used scope. Yeah. And I can't find my leads that go to it. And it had a battery pack that went to it that I can't find. And it's got a 12-volt power supply in it. I can't find the leads to that. It's all packed up in here somewhere. But I'm afraid I'm on. It'd be better for me just to find a used scope than try to fix this one. I thought about taking my drill tube with a tiny bit and see if I can drill a tiny hole down that shaft and put a little tiny wood screw in there. All it does is position the beam left and right. As far as vertical, I mean, up and down, yeah, the vertical, it works. It's just moving it left to right. But I'm trying to decide what I'm going to do, Jeff. I'd like to get that radio. I really would. And I'm just going to have to, right now, I'm just going to have to wait and see. I don't know. I went up there this evening to the house. And my daughter said, "Daddy, don't get next to me." I said, "What's wrong?" "I'm getting a sore throat." I said, "Mine, I got up this morning and my throat is so sore, I can't hardly swallow." So I hope me and her ain't coming down with something, because my grandson, I think he's got his first day of school tomorrow.
CHZYB, man, that's not good. Yeah, I hope whatever that is doesn't last too long. You can knock it pretty quick, especially with all this craziness going on. Yeah, that's not good. Hopefully you guys can get rid of it soon. Just out of curiosity, man, how much can you get a 500 watt amp for?
Rule of thumb is about $1 a watt. If it's any cheaper than that, watch out.
Well, I thought, I can't remember the website I was on a couple of weeks ago. I think it was called Egg, EGG, something or other. It's out of the country. It's not in the U.S. The company's not. And the, actually, it could have been in Italy. I know Italy was all over the amplifiers. But, man, they were ridiculously high. I mean, I'm talking just not even 500 watts. I'm just talking like 150, 200 watts. Some of these things were going for almost $700.
When I said a dollar a watt, that is for a used one. That 811H, I think, brand new, is about close to $1,200 now.
See? Yeah, that's a lot of coin. I mean, I've just been wanting to get a hold of, like 150 or 200 for, 2 meter simplex, but man, at those prices, you know, and I don't see, I haven't seen any used ones, but, you know, the only place I've really looked is, I've checked around on QRZ, on their swapping shop, nothing really. Well, I haven't seen any amps, and I haven't seen anything on eBay, so all the ones I've been looking for has been brand spanking new, and I tell you, man, these things are super expensive for sure.
Well, let me ID K4OIM for ID. Jeff, do you ever check in Wednesday night to the swap net with Gavery?
A couple of times, and now that you mention it, I think I do remember hearing some amps being advertised over the few times I have listened in, but I didn't pay real close attention. But yeah, but I think I have heard some amps for sale on his net.
There was a guy on here 2 or 3 weeks ago. He had about 3 or 4 of them, and I went up to Shelby. I can't think of his call sign. Herb. He had a CDE antenna rotator and the control box completely rebuilt. And he had on the swap net, and I drove up there to get it. He took me in, showing me his shack, and he had a 5 watt in, 75 watt out, 2 meter amp, and he was wanting $100 for it, but when I walked out the door, I put it in a truck for $75. I've never hooked it up yet. This mobile radio I'm talking on, it only go down to 10 watts, and I don't know if I could put that much into it, because he told me it was 5 watt in and 75 out. But it's one of those, I can't think of the name of it, but it's one of those from Italy, and I looked it up on the internet, and that thing sells for right at $500. I've got an old Yaesu, what is this thing? FT221R, 2 meter base station here that's 5 watts only. That's why I bought it. I was going to hook it up to it. But I had that radio set next to my HF radio, and I tuned up. I had the 2 meter rig on, and I had my HF rig on, and I went up on 6 meters and tuned up and was calling CQ, and every time I'd key my HF rig up, it was keying that 2 meter rig up. So I cut the 2 meter rig off, and that night when I went to call the net, I turned it on. It's got receive in it, but it won't transmit. I think I burnt the transmit relay out in it. I've got the email address of this guy up in Asheville. I've got to get it up there and get him to go through it. I need to go. I'm going to go ahead and have him to go ahead and do an alignment on it and all, because when I bought it, it came with a freight counter to set on top, and according to it, the dial on the VFO is way off. from what the freak counter said I was on. And, yeah, you need to listen to the Swamp Net tomorrow night. And when he starts it, he asks, is there anything anybody's got they want to add to the Swamp Net? Just step up looking for a 2-meter amp. And somebody will come back, or if they don't tomorrow night, do it the next week.
EZYB, y'all have to, I'll have to listen in and see what they got going on. I tell you, you know, I bought an HF rig a couple of months ago off a friend of mine in the UK. So this thing got shipped from the UK. And I don't know what's going on with that thing. It's a Kenwood 140S. The thing looks brand new. And I don't know what's going on with it, man. I hooked it up to a vertical, just temporary, so I could do some receiving on it, see how I was receiving and all that. And I can't get that thing to hardly pick up anything. I mean, it's like this. The only thing I was able to pick up or receive on that was like a minor shortwave frequency. I picked up some minor shortwave. I couldn't even get that thing to receive local FM broadcast or AM. So I don't know what in the world is going on with that thing, man. The signal meter won't even swing on it. Like, when I was receiving that shortwave broadcast, signal meter wasn't budging, not even acting like it was wanting to budge. And when I was tuning up and down the bands, the signal meter wasn't bouncing or anything. I mean, I couldn't pick up anything on that radio. So I don't know what's going on with it. But I bought, to get ready to start using that thing, I bought a brand new 35-amp power supply, a brand new tuner, all the coax I needed, the vertical antenna, everything to get this thing ready to go in the air. And now I don't know what's going on with it. It's, I don't know. I need to get it on somebody's bench that already has a vertical up, a wire, something, and see if we can figure out what's going on with this thing. Pretty disappointing, to say the least, man.
Fly him for ID. Yeah, man. I hate to have anything shipped. I bought a lot of stuff off of QRZ and the QTH swap sites. The only time I ever got, I'd say I got gypped on this one. I bought a 2-meter Kenwood mobile all mode transceiver from a guy. And it was kind of high for the radio, but he said it was in mint condition. And he had the price on it plus $30 shipping. And I looked him up on QRZ, and he was only down in Newbury. So I emailed him and told him to send me his address, and I would just drive down to Newbury that weekend. It's not that far. I'd just drive down there and pick it up. And he said, no, he didn't like to do business that way. And I thought he might have been afraid that I was going to knock him in the head and take the radio and rob him. So I sent him cash money. And a few days later, FedEx delivered the box. And it fell off a lot, even for a mobile. And when I got it in the house and tore it open, it was the cabinet. That's all that was there. And he never would answer my emails or anything. I just lost 80 bucks.
That is for real messed up, man. You know, you wouldn't think there'd be that kind of people in the hobby like that, because 99% of anyone you meet out here is on the up and up, super nice people, take the shirt off their back to help you out. You know what I'm saying? Then you get one person that wants to ruin everything. I had a friend of mine in Tampa that got railroaded like that from some QRZ orders. He ordered, I can't remember what model it was, he ordered a tuner. And same deal. I mean, fortunately, he was able to get reimbursed a little bit, but not anywhere near what he paid for this thing through FedEx. You know, I don't even know how I did that, but it wasn't much, like $30 or $40 or something. But he gets this thing, and it wouldn't work at all. So he took the case off of it, and there are just all kinds of broken parts inside this thing. Yeah, I mean, it's just insane. Then he bought an old, what was it, an old Yaesu, what, 101? Tube radio, but it, I mean, I guess this radio comes with, you can buy a ridiculous amount of components that goes with this thing, if I remember correctly, and he had bought the transceiver itself and a couple other components to go along with it, and he purchased it inside of Florida. You know, it wasn't outside the state, and the guy bought it off of did the right thing. The guy bought off of had it insured, and before he left FedEx, he set all the equipment up on the counter, took pictures of all that equipment from every angle, just so, you know, he had something to show what it looked like if something happened, right? So my buddy gets this stuff delivered, opens up the box, well, boxes, because I think he ended up getting three components total. He got the transceiver and two other components that came with it. And he opens this thing up, and they had been dropped. Bent all the pieces on the corners, busted off some of the switches. All three components had been dropped. But they were dropped before they were boxed. He said the boxes didn't have any damage whatsoever. Nothing. So they were dropped at FedEx before they were actually even put in any kind of boxes or anything. So fortunately, you know, that guy took pictures of all that, had proof, because it was set right on the FedEx counter, so there's no denying that, you know. So he was able to get about that. I hope that was transmitting that whole time. But anyway, so he was able to get some money back out of that deal. But it's just too bad that that people treat you like that, you know what I mean? Especially in this hobby here, for sure.
To you in just a second. Let me see if I got any more check-ins. This is KI4DOS with the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Anybody else want to check in tonight or make a comment? Not Jeff, KI4DOS for ID. But Jeff, it's sad that there are people like that in this hobby. I'm not a technician, but I love working on the old Bowlanger, the old tube-type radios. I will not go into this solid state, not even my own, or I'd go into that 221R and replace that relay, but it's so compact in there, and I'm 73 years old, and my hands are still pretty steady, but my eyesight ain't that good. But I sold this one guy. I was buying 2-meter radios off of QRZ, and they usually honest, it's a tech special. I'd buy them and get them on the air, and if there was a new technician come on talking on a bow thing or something and didn't have any money, I'd go back on the net and tell them, I said, if you need a radio, come up here and talk to me. And I'd sell the thing for what I gave for it, but it was in operating condition. And sometimes I just gave it away. But I had this one guy come up here wanting to buy a radio. I sold him what he came after, and he turned around and looked and seen another 2 meter sitting on the shelf behind me. And, well, so-and-so's getting interested in ham radio, and I'm going to take him and get his license next week. And I'll come back and get that radio. I said, well, if you want it, go ahead and take it with you. So he got it, he turned around and seen a MFJ manual tuner. Boy, I'd like to have that. I said, well, if you're going to pay for it next week, get it and take it with you. You can come back next week, I'll trust you. And I ain't seen that sucker again, and that's been almost 2 years ago. He won't even come back on the radio and talk.
You ID'd yourself as Gary's call sign twice, probably by accident. The first time I heard it, I was like, no way, he didn't. I heard that wrong, but he did it a second time. If you want to re-ID yourself.
I have been calling the net and say this KI4DOS. I guess it's because it's such a good friend of mine. But I'm not KI4DOS. I'm K4OIM. Only you caught that. Jeff didn't catch it, did you, Jeff?
I sure didn't, buddy. I didn't catch it at all. Lord have mercy. Hey, I've done the same thing. It happens. But you know what? To comment on this joker that took off with your equipment, I mean, what's the guy going to do now? Who's he going to talk to? You know, if he hadn't been back on the radio for 2 years and he's, you know, within range of the repeaters here, I mean, that's just ridiculous right there. You know, I mean, first of all, you know, the guy railroads you on your equipment and now he can't talk to no one. Who's he going to talk to?
Every once in a while, I'm out to throw his call sign out, but he won't come back. And I've heard him on the Mount Mitchell repeater, but I didn't lose that much money. Probably $100, but I could use that $100 now with the Shelby Ham Fest coming up. And I hate you got snung on that Kenwood radio. I wish I'd have known you back then. You said you went and bought a tuner. I've got a MFJ tuner here. I don't even know what model this thing is. Can't get down there and see it. But it's that full-level limit 1500 watt roller inductor with a cross needle meter in it. Yeah, I mean, it's like brand new. I bought it from this lady. Her husband was a silent key. I think this thing sells for $379. And the only reason I bought it was because I was planning on getting a amp. But the way things are going now, it don't look like I'm going to be able to get an amp. I can't take all that stuff up my daughter's house. Then I'm going to list this thing on the net tomorrow night for $200. I mean, it is one nice antenna tuner. And it works 100% because I hooked it up to my FT950 and tried it out, and the SWR was right with what was showing on my FT950. And I hate to get rid of it, but I'm going to. It looks like if I'm going to buy anything, it's going to be a small radio or another key.
You know, this Kenwood had to have got jerked around during shipping, because I heard the thing, I heard it working. You know, my buddy, you know, had me on video a couple of times, I think. And so I heard it working, but he couldn't have packed that thing any better than what he did. You know, I mean, it was packed in there like sardines, man. He had all kinds of protective bubble wrap in there, paper. I mean, it was in there solid. But, you know, those things still get thrown around, jerked around. Them drivers don't care what they're doing in there, man. It's not their property. You know, so I'm not sure what happened to it. But, you know, that's a long way to travel, man. You know, when you're shipping, you know, vintage equipment like that. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe one of these days I'll be able to get it fired up. But like I said, I like to just take this and put it on someone's bench before I ship it out somewhere. And just have someone hook it up to their antenna, whatever it is, and see what we can figure out on it before I ship it out to have it worked on. I mean, I have no clue what it would cost to have that thing worked on. I wish I still had my Yaesu A57D and my Kenwood 2000. Man, I got rid of those before I moved down south. And if I had those two radios, I wouldn't need anything else. I'm going to give one last call here for check-ins. And I'll go ahead and send my net report in. And I'll get back with you and Daniel. Let me get this done in case day's up to make sure I get it done right. I'll be back in just a second. Out here, KCZYB. A4OIM. Now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all that checked in tonight, we will now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 7-3s, good night, and God bless. Mayor Walt, KCHZYB. I talked to one of my buddies earlier today, about the Shelby Ham Fest. So it looks like there's still a green light on that one. And unless something comes up in between now and then. But isn't that the 5th, 6th, and 7th, or 3rd, 4th, and 5th, somewhere around in there?
No, let me pull my calendar up here. Come on.
First or second week of September, but I can't remember.
September the 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Hey, good deal. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, man. I haven't been to a smaller one like that before. Well, I mean, I don't know how small it is, but, you know, the only ones I've ever been to was the one in Dayton, Ohio, and then the one in Orlando, Hamcation, a year or so ago. And from what I saw online, it looks like they've got an awesome flea market there.
Not as big as Dayton and Orlando. But they call it the grandfather of a mall. It's a pretty good size. If you walk it, it'll take you all day. But they do have golf carts there that they rent. Ride around on, but yeah, the tailgate section outside, it is huge. And up on the back side, the stables it's at a fairground. And the fairground naturally has got a racetrack. But up there at the stables, they clean the stalls out and put fresh hay down. And, they people in there sell it. I mean, it's one of the biggest ones around here. I'll put it that way. It's an all-day job to go up there and walk it and take time and go in the to see the vendors like MFJ and all the vendors up there. And like I say, they got some killer food also.
As long as they got some money for some of that good food, man, that's what matters to me. And meeting everyone. I don't even have to buy a dang radio. Just go eat some of that good food and meet everyone.
Get me a bigger name tag when I get up there. Or I might order one off the internet. And I'd like to get me a hat, but I hate wearing a ball cap. I wore a hard hat so many years, I hate any kind of hat or cap now. But if you get up there and buy an item that is heavy, you'll see these guys around with yellow vests on. They've got golf carts, and they'll take you and whatever you purchase out across the street to the parking lot. It is so big, the parking lot across from the fairground, I've seen it get filled up, and you'd have to go a couple of miles up the road to a university, and they have permission for the people to park up there. And then they had the buses come and shuttling you, they had the shuttle buses to shuttle you back and forth with your equipment and all. It's a pretty good size ham fest. You're talking about your buddy bought that old FD-101. I bought one a few years ago up there in Shelby. And I went through it and replaced some of the capacitors that was bad in it and checked the tolerance on the resistors and replaced a few of them. But the finals were bad in it. And I used to buy a match pair of those finals locally here at Harley Electronics. I could buy the match pair for $14 a piece. And I ended up having to order a pair, not even a match pair, from, believe I got them from China. $175 a piece. And I think I sold the radio for $200 or either $250.
Well, I tell you what, you know, I really don't need any more radio equipment. I mean, like transceivers. What I'd really like to find is some kind of nice vintage receiver that'll, you know, upper and lower sideband, something that'll pick up everything clear across the spectrum. That's what I really like to find. And, you know, I'd seen several in Orlando, but I just didn't have the money at the time to get what I wanted, but I only had a little bit of cash with me this time, so that's really what I like to get, some kind of nice vintage receiver that doesn't need a whole lot of work done to it, or any, really. That'd be even better. But how hard is it to get hold of tubes anymore? Is it pretty hard, and when you do find them, are they super expensive?
A receiver is the final amplifier tubes. It's really hard to come by. There's several websites that you can use to get tubes and other components. I wish Andy KI4LZI had stuck around. He don't do it, but he knows the website where to get the original grill cloth and all of that. But as far as I use a company called Hayseed, they are pretty reasonable. You get the whole kit, every capacitor that goes in there, for about $30. And excuse me, Jeff. I'd like to say I could help you out on that receiver, because I got six of them sitting here, and it's like my daughter told my brother the other day, man, what are you going to do with all them radios? She said, Ray, Uncle Ray, Daddy ain't going to sell one of them radios. He loves them.